Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Wednesday's here. One day closer to the resurrection. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yeah.
Every day. Every day. I've said this for years. It's one day closer to the resurrection. It's one day closer to my birthday, and it's one day closer to Christmas. Glory. Yes, in that order. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming, brother.
Yes, sir.
Everything's been satisfied but me. Everything is satisfied for Him to come. And I'm not going to be satisfied till He does.
There you go.
Praise God.
Amen.
He needs to do this.
Yes. He wants to do
this. He wants to do this. Yes, amen. Father, thank You for the wonders of Your Word, the power of Your Spirit, and the written Word. The written Word of God is a manifestation of You, a manifestation of Jesus. Praise God, for the Spirit of God wrote this book. It is a book of covenants and promises, and we praise You and we thank You that we are the recipient of it, and we glorify Your name, and that name is Jesus. Praise God forevermore. Now, we're really into something here in 1 Peter. Second Peter. And You just, the more you read, the more wonderful it gets. But these first four verses, Simon Peter, a servant or a slave and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Well, when did he become an apostle? Let's go back to the 13th chapter of John, 34th and 35th verses. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And all shall know that you are My disciples by the way you love one another. A disciple is a follower. Look at the word disciple and look at the word discipline. They're the same word. One corrects or disciplines. My dad, A.W. Copeland, disciplined me. And it seemed tough at the time. But I soon became a disciple of Aubrey Wayne Copeland because he was right all the time. He disciplined me and I became a disciple. Well, they were the disciples until right before he left, he said, go into all the world. Right. And preach the gospel to every creature.
And I am willing, if I was a betting person, but I'm not, to bet that you still have the attributes of your father.
Yes.
Because you were a disciple, that became part of your character nature.
And my DNA was on my mother's side. And when I was just a boy, her younger brother, her older brother was killed in World War II. But her, and this is funny, the one we called Uncle Bud was the oldest one, and he nicknamed people. Mm-hmm. And he was such a happy man. And the two of them went to Texas Tech, and my Uncle Pete went to play football, and my Uncle Bud went to get an education. Anyway, he nicknamed people. Now, my Uncle Pete's name wasn't Pete at all. He is Floyd Russell Owens, but he wore blue overalls, work overalls. He, not those other striped ones. He wouldn't have them. He had to have blue ones from the time he was a little guy, and you bought them big, rolled the legs of them up when you didn't, and your farm people didn't have any money. So he called him, I'm saying this because of covenant name change.
Okay.
He called him Pete Edelman Boy Blue. He was Pete Owens for the rest of his life. Nobody ever knew what his name was. Now, there was another man there, and My Uncle Bud called him Turkey Neck Shepherd. They called him Turk Shepherd till the day he died. And when the news came to us, and then of course, and my dad knew him, I said, "Dad, do you know what Turk Shepherd's real name is?" He said, "You know I don't." The name change.
Yeah.
That is huge. What they name you, you become.
So when they called us Christians,
we became.
Or we should have become.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas, Christ or anointing, Mass, celebration.
Right.
It's the celebration of the anointing. Because the anointed one was only here a short time and only ministered roughly 3.5 years. But we still celebrate the anointed one and his anointing. Supposed to.
So, historically, we can prove that he was not born on December the 25th. Doesn't matter. The world accepts that's the day.
Yes.
And because it's that day has become significant. So whatever is associated with him becomes significant. When you gave your life to Jesus, you became associated with him, you just became significant.
And you became a carrier of that anointing. Now, what I started to say, I look so much like my Uncle Pete or Uncle Floyd that when I was a young boy, they thought that I was his son. And I never did look anything like my dad. I looked like my mother. Mm. But then the things that he taught me, he discipled me. And it's precious in my life. I mean, he really enjoyed swimming. I'd swim in a mud hole. And there'd be times that we'd be driving down a highway together, and there would have come a good rain and be a lot of water running down that bar ditch. I'd say, "Daddy, stop the car and let me go swimming." Mm-hmm. And he'd do it. And he'd say, "Don't you jump in there. You don't know what's underneath it."
Right.
Now, I started learning these things. And I remember, now, and this goes to what we're talking about, his attributes. My dad was a very kind man, but he was very exact. If he said, "Kenneth, when I get home, I'm going to spank you for that," hang it on the wall. Because when we got home, it wasn't going to be, "No, now don't ever do that again." No, he didn't lie to me. We got home, I got spanked. There'd be times he'd say, "I'm going to spank you for that."
Yeah, right.
And that's all he'd say. Oh, but when?
So now you're carrying the weight of that around with you.
And it would come.
Yeah.
But I never could talk him out of it. Now, Kelly, boy, she'd start pleading her case with me. I mean, I'm just "No, Daddy, don't do something you're going to regret. Now, come on. I'd try my best to keep a straight face, but I would discipline her. And there were times she got it anyway. And I have to admit, there's times she talked me out of it.
Right.
Because of grace.
Yes.
But the whole point is, I didn't, Proverbs 6:22. Could we turn there
just for
a moment? Because all of this has to do with what we're talking about. Verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them about your neck. When you go, it shall lead thee. When you sleep, it shall keep thee. When you awake, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are a way of life. Mm-hmm. It'll work with you all the time if it's final authority in your life. And the things that I remember that my mother and my dad taught me, my dad taught me how to dry my back. That sounds small, but for problems with my mother's health, I was an only child. And so I remember it. It's in my mind. Mm-hmm. We just got out of a swimming pool one day. I was a little guy, and I couldn't figure out how to dry my back.
Yeah.
So he turned me around and taught me how to dry my back. I still take showers, and I dry my back the same way.
Why he taught you?
Because my father taught me.
Yes, sir.
My heavenly Father has taught me things.
Yes, Lord.
Over the last 55 years, some of them were very expensive because I didn't obey. But I learned the hard way.
But His grace in all of those.
Oh, yeah.
And His mercy.
All He said to me, start walking and don't quit. That is a very simple commandment. Yes. I didn't take it as a commandment. Mm. I was overweight all the time. And I started, but then I turned it into jogging. He said, walk. And I didn't do it, and finally, and I just quit. But I would think about it, and it would bother me, but I didn't do it. Well, judgment came. Mm-hmm. Judgment is the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And judgment came, and a disc exploded in my back and put me in the shower floor, screaming and hollering and couldn't get up. But I made the decision then, that day. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not against surgery. But I made the decision that day, they're not going to operate on my back. I am going to do what He said.
Now, He didn't do that to your back.
No.
He gave you the instruction so that wouldn't happen.
To stop it.
Right.
To keep it from happening.
Right.
And it over all those years, it finally blew up after Southwest in 2004, and I wound up in the floor. But now, after doing what He said do, after that, I eventually wound up doing it on a treadmill, and got it all back, and did what I should have done in the first place, and now my diet is correct. I don't have any pain in my body, and I weigh what I should weigh.
There you go. Praise God. That Proverbs is like a rudder on your course.
That's what it
is. Somebody's got to be the navigator, and somebody's got to be on the rudder.
So that's one of the scriptures that's right there by my bedside that I read to go to sleep by.
Yeah, amen.
At night.
Amen. Well, if you look at this, when God revealed Himself to Moses with those attributes and that prayer, he even says, going back to your father, he said, it's in Exodus 34. In Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant, goodness and truth. See, all that's at the beginning. Keeping mercy to 1,000, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. There you go. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. In other words, if you keep going away from these things, it's gonna be passed down. It's going to continue to pass
down. Now, people call that generational curses. Well, that's.
I don't believe it.
No,
Jesus became the curse.
It's generational teaching.
Yes.
And it's brought out in Ephesians chapter 5. If you want to, turn over there and look at that.
this will set somebody free today.
And chapter 5, be ye therefore followers. The Greek word is M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Imitate. The classic Amplified says, be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. As dear children, imitate their parents. That's what it is. It's not a generational curse. They're imitating their parents. They say what their parents said. They do what their parents do. They eat like their parents eat. So if the parent had a massive heart attack, probably the son's going to have one, because heart attacks are not hereditary.
No, they aren't.
Cancer is not hereditary. They're self-induced,
yes,
but in different ways and different causes. But that's the way it goes. Now,
Jesus became the curse.
Yeah, so it's not a curse.
It's
imitating parents.
Right.
Yeah. Parents don't know how to eat, the children don't know how to eat.
And you're so into your flesh.
Yeah. Now, my mother taught us how to eat. I just wouldn't do it. So later it came back, what my mother taught me was right, and I had to go back and begin to eat properly and exercise. I no longer had a weight problem. It was not a weight problem to begin with. It was a food problem.
Come on.
I was a glutton. That's the bottom line of it. I didn't obey what she said about food.
Well, in that proverb you read earlier, it talks about the commandment and then talks about your mother. So, I mean, all of this stuff is...
Now, my mother studied those things.
Yeah.
She was a chiropractor and a naturopath, a naturopathic physician. And the people from whom she learned the naturopathic methods, or natural methods, nutrition, and so forth. And I should have known. This was back during the day she was studying during World War II. And these men would come by our home and teach her. I should have known through them. There was one man that scalded his hands. Somebody dumped scalding coffee on his hands in a restaurant, just burned them. Well, they wanted to do certain things, and he wouldn't have that. And so, now he's a very godly man. And he kept picking at it. They said, don't pick at that, don't pick at that, don't pick at that. He just kept picking at it and 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 kept picking at it. And it did not scar his hands, and his hands turned out with no skull scar.
Wow. Praise God.
But then you couldn't tell how old he was either. He looked so young, but come to find out, he was a very old man. I should have known by watching those men.
Yeah.
And later, all that came back, and then I went back and studied after some of those men, and one of them in particular, he got up around 100, and he quit telling people how old he was so they couldn't guess. Well, and then, well, anyway, let's go back to this.
I'm fascinated.
I'm talking about that there's not a curse involved in that.
No.
It's children imitating their parents.
Okay. So in that, the children of God will begin to imitate what happened.
That's what I was getting at.
Exodus 34, and let me show you some examples. This is a prayer. This is after the tablets have been broken. He comes up, he reveals himself. Let me show you in a couple of places. The spies return. I'll just read you these verses in Numbers 14, verses 19 and 20. The spies return to the people with the report that causes the Israelites to their hearts to melt in disbelief. And it stops God's ability to lend them, to have them enter into the land. And God is getting ready to wipe them out again right there. But listen to the people here, Numbers 14, verses 19 and 20. Pardon, I pray thee, the iniquity of this people, according to your great kindness, as you have forgiven this people ever since Egypt. He went back to Exodus 34 there and began to call upon the kindness of God, and you have forgiven them since Egypt. And the Lord said, I have pardoned as you've asked.
Praise God. See, read that again.
Okay.
Read that again.
Pardon, I pray, the iniquity
of... Which verse?
I'm in Numbers 14, 19 and 20.
Here. Yes, right
19.
There. Pardon. So they cried out, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to something. Always watch for that according. Mm-hmm. It's right there in 2 Peter. According as he has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might receive the divine nature. Mm-hmm. It's according. We do things according to Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25.
So if we'll learn to pray that way, according to your word, Lord, when you say...
Yes.
Now that's covenant.
That's where Abraham stepped in.
That's it. That's faith.
Like Abraham.
Right. Right.
Before him. Like him, he called things that be not as though they were.
Right. You'll see it again in Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, for the sake of time, I'll read it to you. Rend your hearts rather than your garments. Turn back to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in kindness, and renouncing punishment. There it is. That's Exodus 34. He's praying a version of that prayer in his own words.
So let's go back to biblical... study. Once this happened, once this was laid out, the attributes of God, in the 34th chapter, or in the, in, right there in the...
Exodus 34.
34, 6 and 7. Then it flows all the way through the rest of the Bible.
Yes. Yep. Because he made a covenant of it right there.
Yes, sir.
And so now when you, he said, this is how you'll keep from being destroyed. This is how you'll keep from this happening again where I want to destroy you. Say this, pray this. God prayed this for Moses to show them how to pray. To this day, they will pray at the Day of Atonement. They'll come in and pray along this line, these prayers.
And it still works.
And it still works. Psalm 145:8 is another one. The Lord is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger. There it is again. Jonah will do the exact same thing. Jonah will say, for I know that you are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in covenant and kindness, renouncing punishment. That's why he didn't want to go to Nineveh, because I know what you're going to do.
I know what you're going to do.
I know who you are. He's a prophet, and he knows.
And it made him mad. He didn't want to forgive him.
No, he
but
didn't.
God
want
did.
Him. He did.
And we're out of time. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And Greg and I'll be back in just a moment.
John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, in that scripture, Jesus is called the only begotten Son of God. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, he defeated the devil, he stripped him of his power, and Jesus is now called the first begotten Son. It was God's desire, through Jesus' work of redemption, that many sons be brought to glory. God wanted his family. Jesus made a way for you and for me to become part of his family. Jesus has made us the righteousness of God in Christ, and now we can stand in the presence of the Most High God without any guilt or shame or condemnation. It all starts with making Jesus the Lord of your life. Pray this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and do something with it, and I will serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Now, as a born-again child of God, you have legal right to all that Jesus' name provides. You have legal right to the peace, the victory, the healing, the provision, everything. Think about it. The Most High God is your heavenly Father, and Jesus is the King of all kings. Now, we want to help you learn more about your new life in Christ, and we have a free gift for you called the Salvation Package. It's a book called He Did It All For You by Kenneth and Gloria. And there are also brochures to help you get started reading and studying your Bible. Just go to kcm.org to request your free copy of the Salvation Package, and we'll get that sent to you right away.
The fruits of the Spirit were born into you when you received Jesus Christ. The truth of God's Word makes you free to rise above sorrow, chaos, irritation, or impulsiveness. Find out what's already on the inside of you and learn how to yield to it and live in it in The Fruit of the Spirit, The Foundation. This audio series by Gloria Copeland breaks down each fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and explains how to cultivate those qualities in you. As you believe what you hear and read in the Word of God and begin to act on it, as demonstrated in this series, you will see it manifest in your words, thoughts, and actions. You can renew your mind and change the world around you by embracing the nature of God that you were born into as a believer. Request your free copy of Fruit of the Spirit, The Foundation by Gloria Copeland, available as an MP3 disc or digital download. Become the victorious person God created you to be as you develop the solid foundation for your spirit. Go to kcm.org/victory offer or call 877-615-4267. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. These are powerful truths that are coming forth. And join us again tomorrow. Professor Greg and I'll be back tomorrow with another whole lesson on the attributes of God. So be with us. Until then, remember this: God loves you, and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Request the Salvation Package, free on kcm.org/newlife.